Invisible String. Written by Ellis Moore as well, and read by K-Burb. This is a Clone Wars fic, rated Teen It Up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between Boyle slash Waxer, and is tagged with Soulmates, 5+1 Things, and Slice of Life. It is inspired by Finders Keepers by Spacewall.
Were there clues I didn't see? Isn't it just so pretty to think all along there was some invisible string tying you to me?
Ooh. 1. Boyle. The first thing 3513 finds is a sock with a hole in the toe. He doesn't think much of it, really. There are approximately 4 million socks on Kamino, and no reliable way to identify one from another. Besides, he's not even into his tweens yet. It's way too early for this soulmate business, which, if we're being honest, makes no real sense anyway. He may be young, but he's not stupid. How would it even work? Your soulmate loses something and, somehow, it magically finds you? Maybe on a place like Topoka, where everyone is crammed in cheek by jowl, but it's a big galaxy. How would someone on, say, Coruscant find something that was lost on Corellia? Impossible. That's how. No, this sock just fell out of the car on its way to the laundry. Or, more likely, was dropped on the way to the trash compactor. Damaged gear is to be turned in for either repair or disposal. Everyone knows that. There are standards to meet and maintain. The regs are very clear about such things. Just last week, 26 was reprimanded for a stain on his tunic. There is simply no way 13's soulmate has holy socks. Period. Two, Waxer. By the time 68 finds his first token, he's 2 weeks in his reds and convinced he's the only clone in the galaxy without a soulmate. His batchmates have been kind about it.
Maybe he just takes good care of his things. Maybe he's still a 2B. Maybe he's in the Outer Rim.
But he's the only one in their class who hasn't found a single thing, and he's nearly given up hope. It might not be so bad not having a soulmate. More time to read? Then, one Bendu day in the early morning, he shoves his left foot into his boot and yelps as something sharp pierces the skin of his big toe. Great. That's another pair of socks ruined. The quartermaster is going to skin him alive this time. He tips the boot and a treasure rolls out onto his palm, coming to rest neatly. It's a tiny Ewa, carved from a piece of what was once a knee plate and carefully wrought, scuffed in ways unrelated to the plastoid's original use. All but one of the edges are worn smooth, and there's a slight tip to its wings that's jaunty, almost. It's the cutest thing he's ever seen. Three, Boyle.
How many does that make?
Boyle doesn't deign to answer aloud, choosing instead to flip a rude gesture Pete's way.
36,
Varlax chimes in, grinning. It's 12, actually. Not that Boyle is counting. Not that he actually thinks the universe is sending him holy socks from his criffing soulmate. Not that he ever wonders how a clone could manage to put a hole in the same precise location 12 times.
Oh, come on, Boyle, Pete teases. Holy's gotta be one hell of a guy.
Boyle repeats the gesture, fastens his reds at the waist, and leaves the locker room. He's got 30 minutes to kill before late meal, and that's just enough time to get to the compactors to see if there's any junked armor to salvage. He's halfway to the lifts when he realizes that the latest sock is still balled up in his left hand. At least it's clean this time.
He doesn't keep them. Well, except for the one that had obvious signs of crude attempts at mending. Something about the stitching, done in two different colors of thread, one matching the red of their uniforms, and a mysterious shade of green, just seemed so optimistic. So cheerful. Four, Waxer. By the time he got shipped out to Genosis, Waxer had a small pot of Plastoid Awa to keep him company. They vary in size and craftsmanship, but are all clearly made by the same hand. The first one still holds a special place, but his favorite is number 5, a calf with cleverly scraped adolescent spots and a crooked tail. He traded his last pair of new socks for a small pouch to stow them in, and it has a designated place in his pack, but number 5 was just too charming to stash away. So Waxer swapped shifts and traded ration packs and promised favors until a tech drilled a small hole through it and spared him some sealant to prevent further degradation of the Plastoid. He wears it as a corded talisman, tucked into his black safe and sound. The knife comes a bit of a shock. Whimsical animals are one thing, but a vibro can make the difference between life and death. This one's handle is carved into a very good likeness of the tall grazers they'd spotted on the plains just yesterday, which means its owner is here on Chet. He's in the 212th. Five, Boyle.
It's just a knife, Barlack says, turning over in his sleeping bag. Go to the QM and get another one.
It's not just a knife. It's his knife, and he's had it since Camino, safe on his belt. They're partners. He's trashed 3 clankers with it and used it countless times for carving. And that was the mistake. Boyle's never lost anything but the animals. Nothing. He should have known better than to carve the handle. It's just, he'd enjoyed watching the grazers while they march. They move in large, graceful family groups, and the odd curve of their backs echoed the handle perfectly. And it's not like there's much else to do beside the fires.
Don't want another one, he grumbles, rooting through his pack for the 3rd time.
And is that a... God's fucking damn it, it is a sock. How in the carking hells did that show up in the last 45 seconds? Ha! Pete barks. Holy's at it!
Not a word, Boyle growls in reply. Not one fucking word.
Later, after the pack has been tossed yet again and his bedroll's been refurled twice, Pete's statement sinks in. Holy's here. And he's got the knife. Plus 1. Waxer and Boyle. Now, kiss. They meet in line at the QM, and it is very much not love at first sight. Boyle's still stewing about having to replace the knife, despite Pete's attempts to cheer him up with tales of last night's escapades in the rec room, and Waxer's feeling a little sick to his stomach from the antibiotics Stim gave him to take care of the infected blister on his toe, only cracking weak smiles when Cries lands a joke. So Boyle doesn't want a new knife, and Waxer doesn't want to explain why he needs more new socks, and both would rather be anywhere but here. It's Pete who sees it. Boyle, look. And there it is, Boyle's beloved knife, strapped to the thigh of a guy with no hair and a soul patch. A soul patch. A soul patch and the kindest eyes he's ever seen on a VOD. Boyle smiles, searching for words and finding only,
"That's my knife."
Waxer sways a little with the weight of the revelation. "I found it in the mess?"
There's a painfully awkward moment of the sort of silence that should not exist on a ship bunking 10,000 men, and then... Oh. Hi. The end.
Time, wonder is time. Give me the blues and that purple pink skies. And it's cool, baby, when me. Isn't it just so pretty to think all along there was some invisible string tying you to me?